بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد،
واللعنة على أعدائهم أجمعين. We were discussing the topic of wudu in the fiqhi perspective, that how come we do the wudu in this specific format that we do, and how can we understand this procedure of wudu in the light of the verse of Holy Quran and the sunnah of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So we were talking under the light of verse number 6 from Surah Al-Ma'idah. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu idha qumtum ila as-salati faghsilu wujuhakum wa aydiyakum ila al-marafiqi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu idha qumtum ila as-salati فاغسلوا وجوهكم وأيديكم إلى المرافق وامسحوا برؤوسكم وأرجلكم إلى الكعبين. اغسلوا وجوهكم وأيديكم إلى المرافق وامسحوا برؤوسكم وأرجلكم إلى الكعبين. Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse number 6. In the previous class, we already discussed that in Islam, the wudu is composed of ghuslain and mashain. That means two washings. Ghusl means washing. Ghusl, that's a literal meaning of the word, means washing. So two washings and two wipings, rubbings. Two rubbings. You have to rub your hand. Two rubbings. Mashain. Tasniya. That's the sigha of tasniya. Ghaslain. Ghasl. Ghaslain is tasniya. Mash. Mashain is tasniya. So this is, wudu is composed of the wajib part of wudu in terms of the washing and wipe rubbing. It's two washings and two rubbings. So we already discussed that how much the amount of face, point number one, miqdar, and amount of face that has to be washed, amount wajib to be washed, amount of face, wajib to be washed. This is not mentioned in the Holy Quran. Quran says, faghsilu wujuhakum, wash your faces. Quran does not say how much of the face. Miqdar of the face is not mentioned in Quran. So I already told you that those of the people who say let me know from Quran only. This is the wrong approach, because we don't believe in Hasbuna Kitabullah. We believe in Inni Tarikun Fikum Al-Saqalain Kitabullah Wa Itrati Ahl Bayti. So we have the Ahlul Bayt also. We have to turn to the Hadith of the Prophet and Hadith of Ahlul Bayt, which are equally Hujjat and authentic as the Ayat of Quran. Ayat of Quran does not inform us the amount of face which is wajib to be washed. It's not mentioned in the Quran. We learn it from the Hadith of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. So you cannot find everything like this in the Holy Quran written clearly like this. It's not there. Tahdeed of the wajh amount is, I already told you, that's the Sahiha of Zurara ibn A'yan, one of the most authentic companions of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, Zurara ibn A'yan. And there are several other ahadith, but I'm just mentioning, of course, one of those several for your reference. Sahiha means the correct, and that's the highest level of hadith. This is from Wasail al-Shia. Wasail al-Shia, volume 17, page number 12. And then, where Imam alayhi salam had said that ما دارت عليه الوسطى والإبهام من قصاص الشعر إلى الذقن. So whatever falls between the wusta means the middle finger, wal ibham means the thumb. So Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, Zurara says that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam informed that what falls between these two, the middle finger and the thumb, so this much is the width of the face which is wajib to be washed. I mean, qasas al-sha'r, from the place where the hair starts growing, the root of the hair, here, this place, and ila ziqn, till the chin. This is the amount of face fixed by the Ahlul Bayt, the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. So, and this hadith which I just mentioned, that is from Man la yahdhurhu al-faqih, which I already told you. I'm just doing an overview so that we come to today's point. That's the first point about wudu. Wudu comprises of two washings. So we are talking about the first part, the first washing, that means washing the face. Now, also, the second point about this first washing, the second point is that when we are washing our face, it is not permitted, it's not permitted to wash upside down. That means you have to wash it from the top to the bottom towards your chin. You cannot wash your face like this, upside down. You know, from the chin towards the forehead, you cannot do that. That's not allowed. And why it is not allowed? Again, we have Sahiha of another Sahiha of Zurara, which I told you. That's also we learn it from the light of the Hadith. Sahiha. Sahiha of Zurara. Everybody who is performing the wudu correctly, Zurara is also part of the Thawab. MashaAllah, such a great service done by the Ashab of Ahlul Bayt. This is from also from Wasail, Wasail al-Shia, volume number 15 and page number, hadith number 10. Yeah. Actually, this one, let me clarify the one I wrote. This is not volume, this is Bab, chapter number 17, and this is also Hadith number 12. That's the clarification and correction. This is Wasail al-Shia, and this is also Bab, that means chapter number 15. I wrote Bab, chapter number 15, Bab, and Ha means Hadith, Hadith number 10. So this is also, we learn that it's not allowed to wash the face from the bottom to the top. That's not mentioned in Quran. So some people say, tell us from Quran only. There's no way you can understand wudu from Quran only. We have to turn to the Hadith also. So here also we have the Sahih of Zurara, where Zurara says that Imam Baqir alayhi salam did wudu in front of me, and فَأَسْدَلَهَا عَلَى وَجْهِهِ مِنْ أَعْلَى الْوَجْهِ. So Imam poured the water from the top of his face, that means top of the face towards the bottom. He did in front of me like this, you know, pouring the water from top of the face towards the bottom. That's the Sahiha, is the best level of Hadith. And then we discussed that coming to the next point number 3 of the discussion of wudu, which is about second washing. We have two washings. One is of the face. The second washing is about the two hands, right and the left. So let's come to the second washing. That means now washing of the hands. And among the hands, we have the right hand first. So here, the first point to remember about the second washing, it's not allowed to wash upside down. Not allowed from chin towards forehead. And here also it's not allowed from the tip of the fingers towards the elbow. This is not allowed. You cannot do that. So why we cannot do that? It's not permissible. Again, that is also that's a basically in this case certainly we have the ittifaq among all the ulama, ijma' among all the ulama and fuqaha of our history, except there was one Sayyid Murtada rahmatullah alayh who had a different fatwa. But other than Sayyid Murtada, all the fuqaha in our history have the ijma' that it has to be done like this. Now we have a controversy about this matter in Islamic sects. Some of the sects of Islam say that you can pour the water from the tip of your fingers towards the elbow, like this, upwards. Some of the sects of Islam do like this, whereas we do not do like this. It's not allowed. How come they allow doing in that way? Let's turn to the Holy Quran. How do they interpret the verse of Quran so that you understand why they try to do that? The reason they do like this is this ilal marafiqi. These two, according to the Arabic grammar, in the grammatical terminology, these are jar and majroor. These are some grammatical terms. So this is jar and majroor, and whenever there is a jar and majroor in Arabic, it has to be connected to some verb or some noun. So what those people do, they try to connect this to this verb, faqsilu. Whereas we say, and when they connect it with this, we do not agree with that. But they are, I'm telling you why they do it. They connect the ilal marafiq with faqsilu, which is the verb, and they say that the ayat says that you wash towards your elbows, ilal marafiq. That's how they say it, that you wash your faces and your hands towards your elbows. Whereas we say that the jar and majroor grammatically needs to be connected, yes, but it will be connected here with aydiyakum, not with the word faqsilu. So it will mean that you have to wash your faces and hands, and the hands should be only this much. So this is ilal marafiqi is not telling us the direction. The word ila is not informing the direction of washing, that you can, you may say that it is towards the elbow. And the ilal marafiq is informing us about the miqdar which is wajib to be washed. You know, ilal marafiq, in the light of ilal marafiq, we understand the miqdar, which is wajib to be washed. That's it. It's not informing us about the direction. So they say it is informing about the direction. And they connected with faqsilu, so that you have to wash your hands towards your elbows. We say, no, it cannot be connected to faqsilu. It has to be connected with aydiyakum, your hands. You wash your faces and your hands. The miqdar which has to be washed of your hands is this much, up till your elbows. So, now, this is the difference that we have with them. I hope it is clear. And now, coming to the next point, point number 4 of our discussion of wudu.
So, what does that mean? Manafir means elbows.
Elbows.
Oh, okay.
So, now we find that the next at this point of discussion is that why do we wash? When we are talking about the second wash, that means washing the hands. Why do we wash among the hands? Why do we wash the right one first and wash the left one second? Again, it's not mentioned in the Quran. Quran doesn't say wash right hand first. Can you find anywhere? It says faqsilu wujuhakum, wash your faces, wa aydiyakum, and your hands. Right hand first, left hand first? It's nowhere in Quran. How can people say, no, tell us from Quran only? You know, some people, I went to some of those, you know, Islamic sessions of some organizations, and they say, no, no, we just want to listen from Quran. Don't talk about any hadith to us. This is some of the jarasim which have penetrated into our communities from the wal and misguided sects. And that's how they try to, you know, to avoid the Ahlul Bayt, avoid the hadith and sunnah and seerah of Ahlul Bayt. To run away, because the hadith of Ahlul Bayt is clear. Clear in the sense that it's to the point. So basically, it's nowhere in the ayat of Quran which hand you should wash first. Quran says, wash your hands. That's it. It doesn't mention which hand first. So again, we have to turn to the sunnah of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. And I already told you the word sunnah includes it's a terminology of usul al-fiqh, and it includes the qawl of the ma'soom and the fi'l of the ma'soom, the statements of ma'soom, and the actions of a ma'soom that he did himself, and the taqreer of a ma'soom. Taqreer is in the Arabic meaning of the word taqreer. Not in the meaning of what we say in Urdu. It's a different word in Arabic. Taqreer means the intentional silence. If there was an action done by somebody else, Ma'soom was not doing the action. Someone else was doing an action, but the Ma'soom was seeing it and he was silent intentionally. This is called taqreer. So if you perform any action in front of the Ma'soom and he is intentionally silent, this is a hujjat, because he is the hujjat of Allah. He will object if it's wrong. So if he did not object, it means it's correct, it's mubah, it's jaiz, it's permissible in Islam. So taqreer of masoom and fi'l of the action of masoom and the call, the statement of masoom, these are all, when we use the word sunnat in usul al-fiqh, sunnat means all three. It's not just the sunnah means something that he did only. No, even the statements of hadith is part of sunnah. Taqreer of masoom is part of sunnah. So sunnah means all the three. So we have to turn to the sunnah of Ahlul Bayt and the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So according to the, we have Sahiha of Mansur bin Hazim. Sahiha of Mansur bin Hazim, and that is from Wasail al-Shia. That is Bab, chapter number 35, and Hadith number 2. And in that Hadith, Sahiha of Mansur ibn Hazim, he says that يغسل اليمين ويعيد اليسار. Basically, the Ravi asked the Imam alayhi salam that I about, you know, about a wudu that was already performed, and somebody did the wudu by washing the yasar, that is the left hand first, and then he washed the right hand later on. So is that kind of wudu correct? And Imam said he has to wash the right and then repeat the washing the left. That means you have to wash the left one after the right. So we have authentic hadith, several of the hadith, I'm just mentioned one to you, that informs us that the right hand has to be washed first because of the sunnat. We don't have it in Quran, that's part of the sunnat. And now we are done with the washing, that's the major mainstream points about the washing thing, the two washings. Now let's come to the rubbings, mashan. So as far as the mashan, we have point number 5, which is related to now the mashan and the two rubbings, two mas. First one, of course, is on the head, and the second mas, second rubbing, is on the two feet. So now coming to the first rubbing and mas, which is on the head. Now, Islam says you have to wash on the frontal part of the head only. So let's suppose this is the a human being, it's his face. These are the ears, for instance. So here is his head. This is the forehead. Okay. So this part, which is in line with the forehead, this part, the frontal part, which is in line with the forehead, this portion only, that's where he has to do the masah. He cannot do the masah here. He cannot do the masah here. He cannot do the masah here. Or he cannot do at the back of the head. No, only this front part of the forehead, above the forehead, in the line of the forehead, in the same width. Is it clear? This is the only part where we have to do. Again, is it mentioned in the Quran? No. Quran says, Wamsahu biru'usikum, rub your heads. That's it. Which part of the head? Where shall I rub here? This is also head. This is not my neck. This is head. Can I do the masah here? Can I do here? Quran doesn't say that. I cannot do it here. I cannot do it here. But Quran doesn't say that. Quran is not supposed to say that. You have to turn to the Ahlul Bayt, who are the Mufassir of Quran. So we have the hadith again, that is Sahiha of Muhammad ibn Muslim. Muhammad ibn Muslim and Zurara were the greatest fuqaha. One of the greatest fuqaha of our history. Even in the time of Ahlul Bayt, we had great fuqaha. So where Muhammad ibn Muslim had narrated from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam that mashur ra's, that's the hadith of the Imam, that's mashur ra's ala muqaddamihi. That's the hadith, that the rubbing of the head is on the front. So this is called muqaddamur ras. This part is called muqaddamur ras. So we have to do the mas only on this part. And so, and this hadith is narrated in Wasail al-Shia, Bab, that is chapter number 22 and hadith number 2 for your reference. So basically we learn that the ayat of Quran was mutlaq, it was absolute in its application, in the sense that It doesn't fix the amount of the face. It says Vamsahu Biru'usikum. Doesn't fix where amount. I mean, what I mean to say, doesn't fix the segment of the head. It says it is mutlaq and absolute in its form. It says rub your heads. Which segment of the head is not mentioned. It was mutlaq, without any qaid, without any taqeed, without any specific mention of which segment. Here the hadith is mentioning the specific segment very clearly. So this is why what we call taqeed of itlaq. That's why we say that itlaq of Quran can be, the hadith can do the taqeed, can provide a qaid, can provide, you know, restriction for the mutlaqat of Quran. So we cannot act on the mutlaq of Quran without searching its muqayyid from the hadith. Likewise, we cannot follow the mutlaq of hadith without searching its muqayyid from Quran. So we believe that the hadith of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt performs the taqyeed. That means it provides the qaid that restricts the absolute application. I hope you understand. But these are just some terminologies of Usul al-Fiqh. So basically, hadith provides the taqeed for itlaq. And also, it's good to mention another point for your information. And that is, we have some of the narrations, riwayat, that say that it is allowed to do the mas on the mu'akhar ur-ra's. Mu'akhar means the later part, the behind part of the head, this part. Some of the narration say it's okay to do the mas here, but since there are some other sects of Islam who allow washing your head like this, including the mu'akhar part and the muqaddam part both, so those riwayat which say that it is allowed to do the mas on the mu'akhar and the part which is behind, those riwayat are mahmulatun ala taqiyya. This is the benefit of usul al-fiqh. That's why we learned the usul al-fiqh. Our scholars say those riwayat are mahmulatun ala taqiyya. They will be treated with the laws of taqiyya. Some of the narrations, even though they may be authentic, but they are unable to be acted upon, because those statements of Ahlul Bayt were said under specific conditions of taqiyya, when there was a spy, jasus of Banu Umayya or Banu Abbas, la'natullahi alayhim, sitting there in the gathering, and Imam said a statement because of that jasus. So said a statement out of taqiyya in front of somebody, or it was the mawrid of taqiyya, so he said that statement. Even if there was not a jasus present, but it was the mawrid of taqiyya. So those riwayat and narrations which are said because of taqiyya situations are not able to be acted upon in the regular situations. So that's why, even if we find a riwayat and narration which is authentic, saying that it is allowed here, we must understand that those riwayat are based on taqiyya situations. And that's not applicable upon us who are living in normal conditions. You know, we have the riwayat and usul al-kafi that somebody asked Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam that I have heard that you, Ahlul Bayt, claim that you have ilm al-ghayb. Is that right? Imam Sadiq said, yesterday, you know, my servant did something and I ran. He ran after the servant and I didn't know he was in which room. That means what Imam was trying to say, how can we have ilm al-ghayb when I didn't even know he ran away, the servant ran away. I didn't even know, didn't know in which room the servant was. And there was a person sitting who was the jasus of Banu Umayya. And when that guy left, Then Imam Sadiq alayhi salam continued with his ashab and said that Asif bin Barkhiya, who was the wasi of Hazrat Sulaiman, knew only one name from the 73 names of Allah. And because of that one name, he brought the arsh, the takht, the throne of Bilqis, the queen of Saba, in the blinking of an eye. And he said, "Ilmu al-kitabe wallahi kulluhu indana," that the knowledge of the entire book, I swear to Allah, is with us. So then he said a totally different statement. A few moments ago he was saying, "I didn't even know my servant ran away from me. I didn't even know in which room the servant is." So this riwayat is Mahmool al-Taqiyya. Because at that point when Imam was talking, there was a jasus sitting from Banu Umayya or Banu Abbas. And when that person left from the gathering, Imam talked totally different thing to his own ashab. So you cannot just blindly take one thing and, that's why we have Usul al-Fiqh. So we analyze the hadith from so many different aspects. And we have Ilm al-Diraya, and we have, we have, of course, Ilm al-Diraya, and we have Ilm al-Tarajim, and we have Ilm al-Hadith, and Fiqh al-Hadith, and of course, Ilm al-Rijal, and of course, Usul al-Fiqh. So you have to analyze the hadith from several uloom, and after the screening tests, when the hadith passes all the screening tests, then you accept it.
So what is in the dirayat? What is dirayat mean?
Dirayat is means analyzing something with your aql. Alaykum bid diraya la bir riwaya. Alaykum bid dirayat la bir riwayat. So diraya comes first and riwayat comes later. Every riwayat has to be analyzed with the laws of aql. There are certain principles which we have been told. So we, in the aqli rulings, we analyze the riwayat first through the intellectual rulings, and then we can, even if the riwayat is sahiha, but if ilm al-diraya does not pass this, a riwayat does not pass the test of ilm al-diraya, we just throw it away. So it has to pass the test of ilm al-diraya.
So what are those, like ilm al-mantaq,
ilm al-mantaq is logic. That's something else.
Are they part of ilm al-diraya?
No, that's a different knowledge. Okay. Yeah, that's a different knowledge.
So ilm al-diraya is basically logic.
Logical analysis of the riwayat. Ilm al-Rijal, we have more than 18,700 Ravi, Ruwat, narrators of the Hadith. More than 18,700. So you have to, Ilm al-Rijal teaches us to analyze the Ravi in terms of wathaqat al-Ravi. Whether the Ravi is siqah and mu'tabar and authentic, or he is unauthentic. So wathaqat al-Ravi is judged by the principles of Ilm al-Rijal. So we have 18,700 plus Ravi narrators about the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, and we have to analyze those 18,700 narrators in terms of their authenticity. Ilm al-Rijal and the rules of Ilm al-Rijal will let you know whether the Ravi is siqah and mu'assaq and mu'tabar and authentic or not. If you don't know Ilm al-Rijal, you cannot judge. Ilm al-Tarajim, we learn about the life history. The life history of the narrator. Ilm al-Hadith, we talk about the rules of the Hadith itself. And the classifications of the Hadith and its details about that. and fiqh al-hadith, where we learn the words, the kalimat which are used in the hadith, and you know, how to analyze and understand the components of the hadith and the tarkibat and kalimat of that hadith. You know, sometimes they, over the passage of time, the meaning, the words change their meanings. One word was used 500 years ago in a different meaning. After 500 years passed away, the same word of Arabic is now used in a different meaning. So the fiqh al-hadith will let you know to understand the actual meaning of the word used by the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, in what meaning it was used. Is it the time of prayers? So, yes. You can have.
So for Masa Maulana Sahib, where does it like what Sahih it says to do the Masa
on the Muqaddam al Ra'.
Right.
The Muqaddam, in the front part of the head only.
So from front. Towards
your, at that time we are coming to that point.
Okay.
That's the next point.
Okay.
We are coming to the point that how that is coming very soon.
Okay.
How you have to do from the top towards bottom or bottom towards top. That's another discussion. But right now we are discussing about which segment of the head, which part of the head, and which segment of the head. So that we learn from the hadith, and then we have now coming to point number 6. Point number 6 is about the miqdar. This is about which segment, and now we are talking about the miqdar. The miqdar. How much? How much you have to do the mas? You know, how much you have to rub your hand? You have to rub it like equal to 5 inches, or you have to rub 1 inch, or 2 inch, or 3 inch, or 4 inch, 5 inch. How much you have to stretch your hand? How much miqdar? Is it clear? This we are talking about the segment of the head. Which segment? Here now we are talking about the miqdar. The miqdar is basically. We learn from the Holy Quran, because the Holy Quran has said وَمْسَحُوا بِرْرُؤُوسِكُمْ. This ba is has several meanings in the Arabic language, and one of those several is الْبَاءُ لِلْتَبْعِيضُ. تَبْعِيضُ. So it informs us that بَعْضُ الرَّأْسِ, basically some of the head, any amount of the head, basically. Ba'z al-ras, we learn in the light of the ayat that ba'z, any amount of the head is enough. So, and also we have, of course, authentic ahadith. We have sahiha of Zurara and sahiha of Bukhari ibn. Sahiha of Bukhair and others, and this is also narrated in Wasail al-Shia, Bab chapter number 23 and Hadith number 4. So this Sahiha of Zurara and Bukhair is also informing us. So basically we can do the mas of the ras, the miqdar is ba'z is enough. That means you put any, even if you slide a little bit, that's enough. Even a little bit of rubbing is enough. You don't have to stretch it long. Even a little bit, you do it little bit, that's also fine and okay. Okay? I think we'll do it the rest, inshallah, in the next class. The time of prayers. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi.